Welcome to our Rocket Podcast. I'm with Coach Dennis Hodge, and we're going to talk a little bit about how the Rockets have fared in the first third of the season, and what's on the crest. We're getting ready to start the second trip through the 5th District. Coach Hodge, coming out of the holidays, and now usually you like to come out of those holiday games with a little bit of momentum, and especially going into the district. What do you see on the horizon for the Rockets?
Well, everybody likes momentum, Chris. You know, I think we played probably three good games over the holidays. The Gleason game was a little hard to judge because the competition wasn't there. But Fulton City is a team that's extremely competitive when they have their whole lineup. And we were able to get an overtime win at their place over Christmas. And then outside of the Ballard game, in which we just did not handle pressure very well, you know, I told the kids that it was probably one of the worst games that we played, and it was definitely one of the worst games that I coached. So we all decided to forget about that one and move on. But the comeback against Carlisle, a team that had beat Lyon the day before, and had a lead with less than a minute, and we just weren't able to finish it off there at the end, but played pretty well against a very competitive Carlisle County team. So, you know, we feel good going into the new year, but in the same breath, we need to go out and win a district game. It'd be nice to win two district games, stay out of that fourth spot.
Of course, we did get one district win through the first half of the round robin, beat Trigg County, the two-time defending district champion. And I know that was a nice feather in your cap, but as we've seen, they haven't fared too well since then. Of course, Lyon County appears to be the team to beat. They're 7-5 overall. We play them Friday night over at Edible. We go into that game 1-2 in the district and 4-9 overall. What do you see out of Lyon County? How can we stop their athleticism, their three-point shooting? What do we need to do to beat them?
Yeah, you know, to beat Lyon County, you've got to keep Martin out of the lane. And I've seen them play, I think, probably five times now. And what really makes them tick, if you allow Mincy to catch in the post and him to be able to score, get you in foul trouble, they are very good. If you allow Gabe Board to catch from the bigs inside out, if he catches stepping into a three-point shot, he is a very good shooter. And then, you know, Jack Royacre, he's a very athletic young man that can not only shoot to three, but he can put it on the floor and drive it. He's going to drive it left, but, you know, he's hard to keep from going left. Mm-hmm. So if you had to put up probably the top three keys, Chris, to beating them is number one for us is make them play against our set defense. You know, when you allow, as we did Central Hopkins, when you allow them to get into transition, which it's hard to keep Central Hopkins from getting in transition, but if you allow them to get transition buckets, if you turn the ball over, you shoot and miss long threes, you get shots rebounded that you don't have your defense set, then that's when Lyon County can give you problems. So making them play against a set defense, keeping Martin contained and out of the lane, and then not letting Mincy limit his touches in the post, and not letting Gabe Board walk into 3-point shots. You know, he's hurt us on those the last 2 years.
And I think Lyon has a couple of players that look a lot like the Central Hopkins players, but then they get smaller and probably less athletic.
Yeah, Lyon County is tall and lean and long, yeah. And they're challenging for anybody, and hence why they win seven games. But you know, they're a lot like us. You'll see them. They'll be games where they'll be really up, and then there'll be games where they look kind of vanilla.
Let's go to your lineup right now. I know there's been some shakeup in the lineup. Gavin Dickerson right now is playing as well, I guess, as anybody on the team. He leads the team in scoring at 12.2 and is averaging a little over six rebounds a game. But Logan Belt's right behind him, averaging just a little over 11 points and 4 rebounds a game. And those are your two of your top guys. But then Bobby Stevens. Bobby's having as good a year as I can imagine that you could have expected out of him, maybe.
Right. Well, you mentioned three guys there, Chris. I guess the first one we'll talk about, you talk about Bobby. You know, you sent me a picture early in the year of Bobby and Will in middle school, and they were both well under 5 foot tall. And that's probably an exaggeration. But to see, you know, for me as a coach, to see these guys mature, and as a parent myself, to see them improve like Bobby has, and go from a you know, a guy that's almost too small to compete to a guy that dominates the basketball game, to a guy that can put up, you know, when we get spacing and when we can get in transition.
And he's really gotten good at that, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's a lot of reason why we changed our offensive structure, is to create more space for us to drive the lanes. Because initially we thought we might be playing with one big guy, but as it looks now, you know, you can see we're playing with two. Mm-hmm. You know, to see Bobby improve the way he has, you know, you really you want him to be successful, and you want the team to be successful just for him, because he's such a great young man.
Yeah.
To coach. He's going to be successful in whatever he does. He wants to be a pharmacist. I wish he would. I would love to see him coach, but I think he's probably heading a different direction.
And you know what I see from his game is he's found the place on the backboard that works for him when he drives, because he knows he can't. A lot of guys his size will go in the lane, they'll try to alter their shot. He knows where he's got to be to put that ball off the glass and make the basket consistently.
Right. You know, one of the things that kind of expanding on that is Gabe Mott is instructed to go everywhere Bobby Glenn goes. And we said, Gabe, you know, yeah, we were in a drill the other day, a ball handling drill, and Bobby runs all of our ball handling drills. You know, I don't even write it out on the practice schedule anymore. I just turn it over to him, and he runs our ball handling drills. He's the best ball handler we've ever had here that I've ever coached, and even better than Peyton Croft. And as far as handling the ball, and you know, I looked at Gabe the other day and I said, Gabe, you know, you have to know all this next year, right? And he's like, I figured I did. And and not only, you know, and Bobby has learned not only from me, but from other coaches, but from himself, you know, just YouTube and different drills. And that's just the kind of the kid he is. But talking about finishing off the backboard with Bobby, we've really focused off of different style of finishes, if it be right foot, left foot, right hand, over the rim, under the rim, using the rim to your advantage. And Bobby's learned how to use his size to his advantage. Now, would it be a bigger advantage if Bobby was 6'5"? Yeah, we wouldn't be four and a bunch, and there would be more people in the stands watching us play. But Bobby's learned how to play small and use his size to his advantage.
Does an incredible job, and like you say, he's a fan favorite. Gavin, he's just a sophomore. He started last year as a freshman, but continues this. He's a battler, isn't he?
Yeah, Gavin, you know, I'm on him all the time to respect his athletic ability, his ability as a basketball player, because I don't think he realizes how good he could be at this sport. And he does realize how much this sport helps him as far as footwork and conditioning. And he's statistically, in practice, he'll be one of our best shooters, you know, every time out. He was that way last year. He is. We're so dependent on him to handle the basketball. He has become one of our best ball handlers. As you watch us play, you see him bringing the ball up the floor a lot. You know, having a guy that's four or five that can dribble the basketball and be able to handle it under pressure is huge, because most other defenders who are defending him, they're not the guys that are really good in the full court. So he just brings so much to the table, because he can do so much. If it be shoot it, dribble it, pass it, you know. And
let's move to Logan Bell. Logan, of course, missed the first two or three games, broken hand that he got in a very precarious way in practice. And he's back, and he's now getting into the flow, and I think he's had some really great spurts and then some spurts where maybe not so great, but he's a dynamic player.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. He's a dynamic player. He can really score the basketball. You know, but you know me. You know what I'm on him to do. I'm on him to defend. He has the potential to be a great defender, a great rebounder, move without the basketball, dive on the floor after balls, do the intangibles.
He just really got in foul trouble the other night, and the game was out early.
He did, and, you know, at times Logan lets his emotions get the best of him. You wouldn't know it, but he has almost a violent temper, as was shown in his encounter with the wall with his hand.
Get that, you know?
I will not even infer where he might get that, but I do know that he is by far our most dynamic player when he gets going, and he is he's our best scorer and with the most potential. But the things we want to see Logan do are what I alluded to. I want to see him defend. I want to see him rebound. I want to see him play through contact without getting angry. I want to see him, you know, sprint back on defense at the right times. And when he, you know, when he can do those things, you know, not only can he be one of the best player for us, he can be certainly one of the best players in this district. And we're hoping that happens within the next 2 weeks because he has the potential to put up big numbers every night.
Yeah. Your only other senior on the team besides Bobby Glenn is Will Tolley. And he's averaging 8 points and 4 rebounds, and pretty solid season so far for Will.
Yeah, Will's our best defender. We don't make any bones about it. He always draws the other team's best scorer as long as they're not a 4 or 5. But defensively, he just brings so much to the table as far as just playing active. You know, we were in practice the other day, and Noah Dickerson was here with his brother, and he stepped in a drill. And I told Noah, I said, I just forgot how active you were. And that's what, if you watch Will, he is so active defensively. His mind's always spinning. He's always thinking, you know, and Will's a, you know, he's a pleasure to coach. I think he's probably got more in the tank offensively than he has shown yet. And that may be, I think that's kind of true for the whole group as we get ready to go down the stretch. You know, we've kind of been our own worst enemy at times as far as turning the ball over or, you know, allowing the other team to get transition on us.
And beyond those players we've talked about so far, Gavin Dickerson, Logan Belt, Bobby Stevens, Will Tolley. After that, it's been kind of a mixed stew, I guess, as to who is that fifth player. Hunter Boone started out. You played Devin Nesbitt a lot off the bench. He's quick off. Sawyer's had some starts. But it seems you settle now on the eighth grader, Preston Turley, who is a phenomenal eighth grader and has a bright, bright future.
Yeah, you know, and that's a big load to put on an eighth grader to come into a varsity game and to compete, because there's a huge difference. You know, you can stand at the foul line in the eighth grade and get a rebound. If you stand at the foul line against Central Hopkins, they push you under the basket, you know, and the ball gets tipped and they end up with it. So it's a huge load on him. But like Gavin starting as a freshman, right now he's the best player for that spot. He wins it. You come watch practice, and he wins that spot consistently, and he gets better every day. He probably handles the ball and shoots the ball better than most people realize, from away from the basket perspective. But he's another kid that's just a pleasure to coach on a daily basis, and it's fun watching him get better.
This group of young players, and we forget the. We have 2 seniors, a junior, and the rest of them are sophomore, freshman, eighth graders. And I wrote this week in the press that you're getting a little gray hair. I have noticed a little more gray hair on you.
Well, I think
but you got it short now.
I cut it this morning, so you wouldn't be able to notice that. But you know, I have to from time to time remind myself. Unlike Coach Cal, who reminds people every day that he has young players. He wakes up and goes to bed, reminds you. Now these are freshmen, but the you know, I forget what age they are because it doesn't matter.
You
know,
can't get caught up in
we're going to play. We're going to play the best players that in that spot, and really not going to worry about what grade they're in. If they're emotionally mature enough to handle the situation, then they're going to get to play. And you know, Sawyer's another a perfect example of that. You'll see Sawyer do some really, really good things offensively, and then you'll see him make a decision that just makes you kind of scratch your head, and then you realize that he just needs minutes. He needs repetitions and competition. He's gonna. So I think you're gonna see that. I was sitting on the bench talking to Bobby Stevens, Bobby Glenn, watching the JV game, and he told me, "Coach, it's amazing what difference a year makes." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Yeah, I know, Bobby. You're right." I said, and I think you'll see that in Sawyer. You know, although he's going to continue to play down the stretch, him and Devin both, I think you'll see a huge difference in a year. And, you know, Devin's already starting to take the role, and that's Devin Nesbitt, of being our number two defender when Will comes out of the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would like to see Devin be more active with his hands. Some little league coach must have told Devin to keep your hands up at all times, because I want to see him put his hands on the ball every time he gets a chance, but he'll hold his hands up by his shoulders. But he can be just an absolute pest on defense. And, we know he's fast because we've seen him in football, but you watch him take off on the basketball court in drills that are a full court, and you really see how fast Devin is. We want to see him use that, not only defensively, but we want to see him snatch rebounds and outrun everybody else to the other end and shoot it.
You're really, your depth is improving, wouldn't you say, with these younger guys and the sophomores, like you say, getting more playing time and improving daily?
Yeah. A kid that doesn't get mentioned a lot is Tyson Steele. And
get a lot of good minutes.
He is. He's our best kid boxing out. He struggles a little bit to catch the ball, which hampers him offensively at times. But Tyson is one that, if you watched where he was when he's a freshman and see where he is now, it just makes you so proud of his accomplishments and improvements.
I've seen a little emotion out of him, too, a time or two the last few games.
Tyson is a scrapper. We'll just say that. And we've already, as you're coming in here, you know I'm watching game film, getting ready for Lyon County tomorrow night. He already has a special matchup tomorrow night. And they have a player that will remain unnamed.
We'll let them figure that out.
That Tyson is going to get to guard him and try to match his emotion and his energy for a while, because Tyson is a physical player that he's not going to get mad and do something dumb. He's just going to play physical and scrappy.
As we mentioned earlier, it doesn't get any easier from right here. A tough schedule down the stretch. A lot of these games you can win. A lot of them are going to be challenges. Among those on the schedule are Madisonville and Webster County, and those are two pretty solid basketball teams. St. Mary's on here. You got to play Hopkins Central again. So tough finish for this year, and we've got a long way to go.
Well, I can't remember which coach I was talking to when he said it, but it's not always so much about what you have. It's about what everybody else has. And we've seen that not only in basketball at times. We've seen that in football in years that I thought we're pretty darn good, but everybody else is pretty darn good too. And as you look down the schedule, Dawson Springs has the best team it's had in probably 10 to 15 years. They just beat Caldwell the other night, and we've got them on the schedule twice. St. Mary's, like you said, is always a extremely competitive team. So there's not a game on the schedule that couldn't go either way. But we're okay with that.
Yeah. Okay, well, we go to Lyon County Friday night. Now, it's my understanding the boys play the first game because it's their homecoming. Is that accurate?
That is my understanding as well. Yeah, we will play the first game tomorrow night.
All right, so we'll go to Lyon County and start the second half of the district round robin. Good luck, Coach Hodge, ready to watch these Rockets go through this second half of the season.
Yes, sir. Thank you.